Hey everybody, this is Greg from the Digital Press Podcast, and I had the good fortune of traveling down to the Philadelphia area for Too Many Games 2015 edition. I think it's been going on a few years down there. It's the first time that I've attended. And, you know, what drew me there this year was that they were going to have several, you know, video game YouTube personalities that I'd wanted to meet, including GameSack, which I watch all the time. These guys came all the way in from, flew in from Denver. I had the chance to go down there, so I drove down there with a fellow Nava friend, Alex. And we had a good time and, you know, met up with some of these YouTube personalities, you know, browse the floor, see what was being sold. And there were some indie game developers there, several of which I actually already knew. So that was cool to meet some of those folks again. And, you know, got an interview or two here and there and kept everything nice and short. And I'll try and give a little audio intro to everything here in case you listen to the MP3, which obviously may have some sections of me walking around with no description. And you wonder, what the hell was I doing? And break. So as I said, it was really cool to meet the GameSack guys. That's Joe and Dave. They hail from, I guess, the Boulder area in Colorado. They've been doing the GameSack show for about 4 years now, I think. It's a really good review show on YouTube. They're also very quirky. You know, they have their own... you know, kind of jokes that they play on each other and do some, you know, CGI tricks, which are kind of funny. And they review games, and they do a really nice job. And Joe's someone who I've talked to on various web forums over the years, and then he just came out with this, you know, internet TV show, which I enjoyed. And they were really cool, you know, did a little interview for us. And gave me a couple of stickers, and I gave them a repro of Castlevania Dracula X for the Turbo CD, translated. So hopefully they'll enjoy that, and you'll enjoy this.
All right, ready?
All right.
So it's Greg with the Digital Press Podcast, and I'm here with a couple of guys from GameSack, Joe and Dave.
Dave, yeah, got it, good.
And I've been watching your guys' YouTube show since the inception.
Awesome, thanks for that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And so I know you guys have these old, which is amazing, you have these old videos of the two of you from like 20 years ago, which is amazing in and itself. I didn't even believe that they were real. I'm like, where are they getting these things from 20 years ago? Sleeping?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Not going to help.
No.
There's a tambourine goes over there. So why'd you decide to do the show?
Probably because we were running out of ideas for those older videos.
We made a lot of those a lot of the time, and like you said, we just were looking for something new and different to do, something to put on YouTube, see if the public would like it. So, you know, because our older stuff, you know, if we put it on YouTube, no one's really going to watch it. So,
right.
Something that everyone else could probably relate to, maybe.
Yeah, in a new direction, and it's working.
Yeah.
So, one of the things I think that differentiates you guys a lot is the editing and a lot of the, I guess, rudimentary or whatever you want to call it, but a lot of the quote-unquote CGI that you put into it that must take a lot of work, right?
Yes and no. It goes a lot faster than most people might think. I usually like the stop-motion animations. I can get those done like 20, 30 minutes, depending on what I do.
Really?
Depending on like what system's coming apart or what they're I'm having them do, stuff like that. Longer if it's more complex, obviously. But I usually get them all done in one night. And, you know, stuff like that is just really fun to do. I think that's what helps differentiate us as well. And it's really fun to do.
Now, have you broken anything by tinkering?
There's been a couple of times where I'm like, how does this go back together?
Oh.
So I'd like open it up and see how this connects through here. It's like, that's weird. And then like one time, I think it's a 3DO episode, there was a smashed capacitor on the board and it came that way from the factory and I thought I did it.
Oh.
And I'm like, what the hell? So I took it over to my friend's house and we replaced that capacitor unbeknownst to the owner of the unit. Actually, I think I told him eventually, but...
Still,
now. Yeah, it works fine, but I didn't smash the capacitor exactly that way from the beginning, but I just didn't want to think I did it and not give it back to him a working system or whatever.
As long as you don't take apart like a Game Gear, those are heinous.
Oh, really? we haven't done that yet.
I don't think we have plans in the future.
For Lynx.
Not in the immediate future, no. Anyway.
People may not realize, but part of your characters are that Dave is the Nintendo fanboy, and then Joe is the Sega fanboy. I've seen you on Sega forums, so I'm going to assume that that is true, even though you guys have both systems.
Right. It was very true in the late 80s, early 90s. When we were in high school together, we would make tapes of me playing Nintendo games for Joe to watch, and vice versa, Joe would make tapes of him playing Sega games for me to watch, and we'd like... say, oh, this game's much better than that game, watch this, and stuff like that. But, yeah, as we've gotten older, of course, and had more disposable income, we've each bought, you know, the competitive systems. And I'm going to realize Sega's an amazing company.
Yeah, I do like the Sega stuff, usually, a little better. But, you know, you can't deny that Nintendo has some good stuff. And some really good stuff. So, you know, as long as it's good, I'll play it.
But as far as the show goes, yeah. I mean, we're rivals, you know. I hate Sega with passion.
Screw Nintendo.
But, I mean, you guys cover, like, every... I mean, I've seen Sharp 68000
yes.
on there, all the Turbo stuff, so...
Yeah.
We're not going to hold back. If it's something we can do and we want to do, we'll do it.
Yeah, and we both love, like, the non-Sega and the non-Nintendo stuff, too.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, that kind of near and dear to me, at least. I know Dave really likes the Turbo, and like I love Turbo and like the X68000, just random weird stuff like that. Really love it, and it's a lot of people just don't know the birth of gaming or whatever the word is that's out there that they're missing, and that they don't know about.
Yeah.
And I think that helps us as well because we're trying to tell people about some of these games, and I think. Hopefully they find it interesting, but I think they do.
So one of the things I've always personally wondered is, you guys, you seem like you start with NES Master System era. You don't really go further back. Is there a reason for that?
Well, I did play Atari games back then, but they weren't mine. I don't really have a whole lot of nostalgic attachment to them. I never really owned them. I never owned personally. Eventually, my friend Bill has all that stuff. We're going to borrow that from him eventually to do an episode or two about, an episode about 2600 or an episode about ColecoVision, stuff like that. It's not that we think the games suck. It's that, we just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I know the same thing as I had a brother and two sisters, and we owned an Atari as a whole. But, there's a few games that I did like at the time, but now it's like, my love is towards 8-bit era Nintendo, Sega on, but I don't have any problem with the Intellivision or any Atari and stuff like that. We don't have them.
I mean, there is a huge homebrew market out there now. It's sufficient, probably bigger than anything else right now, because it's easier to program for and
right.
It's a great starting platform to learn to program for.
Yeah.
You master that, then you can. Start tackling other areas and stuff like that.
Or you could be like the Halo guy and go backwards.
Yeah, you could.
That program on 2600.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's cool.
So one of the things I was going to mention, you mentioned stop motion, is that Halloween episode that you guys from like 20 years ago with Dave, like going around as the stop motion guy, that was that was really good.
That was one of the videos that we made just for fun. And like, okay, let's put it in our Halloween episode. And then, you know, we got some comments about Dave not washing his hands. So
which was funny.
Yeah, and so we actually dug out that old camera that we shot it with, and we shot like what would happen if he didn't wash my hands.
Yeah.
So we had to shoot that in that same style. So
yeah,
that was fun. So yeah.
All right. So thank you guys.
You bet.
Anytime.
In a second. Yeah, and it's it's Game Sack, which is on YouTube. Game Sack. And the website, I think it's
GameSack.net. And that's our episode guide, where you just see what games we have in an episode, and you can watch it.
You can search for a specific game, and then, click the link, and it'll take you right to YouTube.
Do you have any future plans here? Maybe you want to let us in on? Or
Well, we're creating a website with, like, the Game Chasers, 8-Bit Eric, Shane from ReRez,
Alpha Omega Sin,
called FinalBosses.com. Hopefully be up in the next couple of weeks.
He has a dirty mouth, though.
Yeah, but then again, not as dirty as the Game Chasers and Eric, so.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a quick one, but Alex and I ran into fellow NAVA members and artists, Nina and, of course, Adam Shub, who is known as the Square Painter. So it was cool to see them in their booth.
They're sponsored. I got a kit from them, the Master Chief from Halo, which is really nice, and a Batman, a Japanese designed Batman.
I'm just here for the B-roll.
I'm just here for Gutsman.
The B-roll, which Frankie will convert into like 240 from my 720.
Why would he do that? That's terrible, Frankie. Don't do that.
Another former Digital Press employee and NAVA member, Matt Papa, was there. He was there with the Inti Creates company. They're a Japanese game developer. He's representing them, doing the tour. And, of course, they're coming out with both the Mighty No. 9 platforming game, which is, of course, influenced very much so by Mega Man. And also another platforming game, which called Gunvolt, which I thought was an interesting concept. And Matt gave me a little description of all that. And plus, I asked him for a memory of the great Joe Santulli. And he gave a nice little story for that, too.
But are you on?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh. Hey guys, Matt Papa here, former first key holder ever at Digital Press, now International Affairs Coordinator for Inti Creates here. We got Azure Striker Gunvolt and Mighty No. 9 playables going on here. The reception has been really awesome so far.
When are these coming out?
Gunvolt is already out. It's been out since August on the 3DS eShop. And Mighty No. 9 comes out September 15th.
Nice. Alright, so let's try and get some close ups.
Yeah, man, go for it.
Do you have a quick summation of the game?
Okay, so Azure Striker Gunvolt is a, as you can see, is a 2D, actually both of them for that matter, are 2D action side scrolling game. Gunvolt is our first self-published title. So Gunvolt is developed and published by us, as you can see.
This is our own original IP. Doesn't look main mechanic, as you can see on the screen. Instead of using his gun for main damage purposes, he uses his gun to like tag enemies so you can lock onto them. He uses his electrical field to slap the crap out of him. That's like his main mode of attack. And buddy number 9, obviously, you know, we've been developing the team with Keiji Inafune, you know, the godfather of Mega Man. He's a fantastic guy. His new IP that we're developing, being published by those guys. And we love them. We love them both very much.
Yes, I'm on the Kickstarter for Mighty No. 9, along with, you know, everyone else in the world.
Yeah, I was on my backpack too.
Well, thank you all both.
You're welcome.
Okay, if you're not playing, grab the swag over to my man and meet there.
I got one.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's always nice to hear.
So, you have a message for, you know, the last episode we did was a tribute to Joe, where everybody had a Joe story.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you could think of anything on the spot.
Oh, man. There's a lot. I mean, just, you know, digital press. I found digital press on a whim. Because I was going up to school at Montclair, you know, 5 minutes down the road from there. I remember I drove by one night, and I saw the arcade machines lit up. This is like right after it opened.
Yeah.
And so the arcade machines lit up, and I went, I'm like, whoa, what's that? I gotta go back and check that out. I went and check it out, and look around like, oh my god, this is the best place ever. This is the coolest thing. And I was in college at the time, so I was like looking for some like part-time work to do. I just got to talk to Joe for a while. I got to know him. You know, I love Joe to death. You know, he knows that. So I'm talking to him like, hey, you know, you wouldn't happen to be looking for any help, would you? He's like, well, I actually have a guy coming in for an interview today. I'm like, oh, well, that's not okay. He's like, oh, but he's like 3 hours late. I'm like, oh. All right. Yeah, I'd love to help you. And sure enough, I was happy to provide Joe his first day off since he opened Digital Press. So
there you go.
That was an honor.
So real quick, we're at Too Many Games. Yes. I haven't been here before.
I've been coming here for about 5 years now.
Wow.
It's a fun little con.
Yes. Well, luckily,
it's grown a lot since my first time here.
And this is, as I pan around, this is actually on a Sunday. I assume the other days were very full.
Yeah, yesterday was jam-packed in here. And I was very happy to see it.
All right, well, the games look awesome.
Thank you.
September 15th, I just triggered the number. It's out right now in the 3DS eShop. I encourage you to check it out.
All right. Say goodbye, Matt.
Bye, Matt.
It's my first time meeting Pat Contry, a.k.a. Pat the NES Punk, which I believe his website is actually thepunkeffect.com. Pat was there all weekend. Of course, he does goofy videos, reviews games, and he's really cool, very nice to talk to, and he had a brief message for the podcast. Then Adam, I saw Adam Shub over by us, so we all got together for a photo.
A fellow podcaster, you want to do like a, not an interview, but you want to say something about Too Many Games?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, Digital Press. I don't know if they've ever gone to the old website.
Oh, you work for the store?
No, I'm friends with them, so we do shitty.
Joe. I know Joe.
Yeah, Joe. But he's down in Texas.
Oh, you moved?
Well, it's for the museum that they're making.
That's in Texas.
Yeah. Hopefully, it's so loud.
Hi, I'm Pat Contry here at Too Many Games.
Pennsylvania, having a great time, hawking my wares, and having a lot of fun. I just bought a bunch of NES manuals. So it's a great time. Come out here next year, I guess.
Well, like this year. Dinner or something.
The next interview was with also a New Jersey native, Kurt Culotta, who is the editor-in-chief for HardcoreGaming101.net. I haven't met Kurt before in person. He's been to NAVA at Digital Press, but I missed him that day. He's been putting out some this really excellent line of books, which we've reviewed on the podcast in the past. You know, there was a Sega arcade book, there was a Castlevania book, there is a Konami Shooters book. I mean, he's just been going on and on with putting these things out there now. He has a lot of content from the website, and I really love the setup of the books and the graphics and all that kind of stuff. And I got to talk to Kurt, and
I'll intro it real fast. So,
okay.
I've got Kurt here from Hardcore Gaming 101. And looking at his books that we've reviewed many times on the podcast, the Sega Arcade Classics, which is still my favorite.
Thank you.
And I'm anxiously awaiting another volume. What have you to say about that?
Coming soon.
All right.
When it's done.
Yeah, and he's got the Bionic Commando Strider book here, as well as a Japanese game developer's interview book, Text Adventures. The Castlevania book apparently has sold out, which is very good. I have one myself. I've reviewed the Sega one and Castlevania on the show. I still have to do this one, obviously.
Yeah, the Konami Shooter one just put out in January.
Yeah.
And the Strider Bionic Commando was like last month.
So real quick, how did you decide to put out these little these little guides?
Well, I always loved old video game magazines. Like, I still have a huge collection, EGMs and stuff. And just a lot of writing nowadays is digital, and it's not really just as fun to flip through. So when the print-on-demand places became more easily accessible and priceable, then that's what got me into doing it. So I think I gotta figure out a graphic design program, find some cover artists, and just take the time to put it together.
And you have the added benefit that you've been writing on your website for so long that you have all this material.
Oh yeah, I mean, a lot of it is based on what's on the sort of websites. But we always, brush it up a little bit, fix up the writing, add any other stuff, do extra research. So this is the best possible one we have assembled.
So have you been to too many games before?
Yeah, I've been going here for, I don't know, 6-7 years. This is only my second year as a seller, though.
Right.
Yeah, I was here when they were just in a small little thing in Reading.
So what's on the horizon?
Well, this one is the next one we're working on. It's our 200 best games of all time. It's decided by the staff members. So after that, we're going to be working on another digest similar to that. It's covering Taito games, like Darius and Elevator Action.
Right.
Probably what we're going to feature on the cover. Beyond that, we're still slowly working on Sega Arcade Classics Volume 2. In the long run, I wanted to do another Konami book that covers Contra and Mystical Ninja and any other. They had so many great 8 and 16-bit games.
Well, you may not have to worry about covering new games for those properties.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know what's happening with Konami.
Yeah, they're just going to stop. Should probably do a Metal Gear one, assuming that they don't come after me. That's the only thing they care about nowadays.
Well, thanks for speaking to us.
Okay, thank you.
So one of the panels that I wanted to see was there was a Kickstarter coming up for something called the Complete NES. It is a book. I snuck into the panel for a couple of minutes, and basically it's not really a pocket guide, but it's a little bigger than that. But it's a book which will have, I believe, a review and a little guide in the sense of some pictures and cart scans and box scans and everything for pretty much every major NTSC US NES release ever. You know, there's over 600 or however many games there are that they'll have in there. And so, you know, if you're perusing NES games in, you know, at a flea market or a convention or something, or a video game store, and you want to look in this book and say, ooh, you know, I don't have, Killer Tomatoes from Space or something like that, or, I want to look up a review of City Connection, even though I can tell you right now it's shit. But if you wanted to, you could scan those pages and look it up, so it seems like a very novel idea.
Convention game hunt in or out at a store or wherever I'm going. I want something that I can take with me, right? So what I did was, is I looked around, there wasn't anything. There was a couple people that had some guys, but they were like overviews. And I didn't really like that. I was like, I want a guy that I can take with me that'll never age and will always be relevant. So the first thing I omitted was Overstreet Price guy. I didn't put rarity, I didn't put game prices in it, because the thing is that right now, Mega Man X3 is $220. 2 years ago when I was looking at it, I passed it for $60. Myself a little bit on that, but that's okay. But if I put a price on a game like Super Mario Brothers, and then the next week it's not relevant anymore, this is a book. This isn't just a printable, you know, PDF form that can change and you can print your own. So basically what I said was, all right, so I'm nixing that. So on it, you're going to have a box art on each game, and then underneath that, it's going to have the year it was made, the developer, and underneath that's going to have three boxes. You can check mark cart, instructions, and box. So if you have the cart, if you have the instructions, and you have the box, what you can do is you can check mark if you have those. And it's going to be a box, so you can highlight it if you want, whatever you want to do. And then underneath that, there's going to be like a little divider line. And underneath that, it's going to have an action shot of the game. So like an actual screenshot from the game, which to me was actually surprising on how many games I didn't really recognize, because I have only collected and not played everything yet. My backlog is like thousands of games right now. Exactly, man. So I was sitting there looking at games. I'm like, Abadox, wow. That game looks really awesome. Like, I was like, I need to fire that game up. Like, so it's actually gotten me to play a lot of games that have taken shelfware for me. And then I write a small whippet underneath each one. So doing, you know, over 600 games, it's been a little bit hard to get unique summaries for each one. Look at RBI Baseball 1, 2, 3, 4, Four Wheel Fortunes, you know, stuff like that. So that's one of the parts where my editor's going through right now, because I did some Wikipedia paraphrasing, things like that, and he's looking at it and he's like, all right, we're going to rework these. And because I want everything to be unique. The only thing with having such a small blippet is I'm going to run into the issue of not being able to tell any personal stories on there. The whole beginning of the book, I have a whole, you know, intro where I'm telling some pretty cool stories of how I came across developing things. And in the NES section, I tell about my childhood with the NES. But I would like to be able to break those out a little bit better if I could. And so it's been difficult because I've been rewording things. But basically, that's going to take me a day to reword the couple that he's made. There hasn't been a whole lot of those. So that's going to be the section. There's going to be three pages on each, or three games on each page, and then it's gonna be, you know, each one's going to have an opening. So that way it's going to be pretty concise. I was thinking about, you know, breaking out a few of my favorite games and doing like a review, but then I was like, man, that's going to mess with the flow of the guide, because if you have it in your pocket, you're like, oh, I got to get through these review pages. I want it to be more of a collector's guide. That was my main thing. My first book, I broke out a lot of games, some of my favorite hidden gems for each generation, and wrote about it. Now, with this one, I wanted to be more like something that people can have with them and a quick reference.
All right, now the next segment is from the Pixel Please. That's PXLPLZ, indie developers, Ben and Jason. They've come to NAVA before, so we've been familiar with those guys. They're from New Jersey. And they had the Star Saver indie game that was on mobile devices, and it was very good, very popular. And they had their newest game there. And they had it in a small custom-built, retro mini arcade cabinet there. And it was called Robo Puzzle Smash. Basically, it's, I mean, to me, it just, it seemed like, it was a fighting game, but it was also, like a Tetris sort of bust a move style game. They had a, I guess that weekend they had a tournament there. People really liked it. And, you know, they described the game and, it was a good segment.
I'm Jason, and we are from Pixel Please. We're working on a game called Robo Puzzle Smash.
And I know you guys, I saw your Star Saver game. You had it at NAVA a bunch of times, and I demoed it. It was very good, a lot of fun. So, I don't know, just show your new game, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is, what is this, like a Tetris fighting game? Or?
So, yeah, it is a competitive multiplayer puzzle game. It's two players, even when it's a player versus an AI, it's still going to be two players playing each other. How it's set up is you've got open blocks, which you just stack up in colors, color groups, and you've got breaker blocks, which are those closed-up blocks. Your goal is to match the closed blocks with the open blocks. When you match them, it breaks them in a chain, and it sends those blocks over to the opponent's play field. Your goal is to make the other player lose. There is no winning in this game.
How do you make them lose, man?
You lose by sending blocks over to their play field.
They lose when their play field fills up to the top and they can't drop anything from the top.
Right, it's like
Bust a Move.
Like Bust a Move, Super Puzzle Fighter. Tetris Attack. It's in that
style. But the difference here is that you can rotate the field.
Yes, that's one of the key differences, you can rotate the field.
Rotating the field shifts the blocks around. And gravity takes effect and you can have the blocks line up in different ways that way, try to recover. One of the other differences is that we have a super meter at the bottom that builds up as you're playing. You're dropping and taking damage. It builds up more and more and more. You can spend one of the bars of the super meter, there's three portions to it. You spend it to get a universal block, which right now looks like a disco ball. And you use that to break anything, including the blocks that are sent over to you. You don't necessarily produce the colors that are sent over to you. Every character will have their own set of colors. If you don't get those colors, you can't break them with your own breaker blocks. You have to use the sphere. That's why you want to use the super meter. And the super meter builds up in such a way that a good back and forth can happen in a good fight. Matches can last from like 10 minutes or like as short as 30 seconds with some really, really talented players.
So is this mobile-based like the other game?
No, this is going to be released on console. It's going to be released on Mac PC and, of course, our stunning arcade cabinet.
Okay. This is running on Linux.
All
right. We're going to base all the robots off of like 80s robot anime stuff.
Right.
So we've got the Gundam-inspired character there. Yeah. We're going to do like a Robotech Veritech-inspired character. So it should be pretty cool.
Nice.
Voxel style is kind of new too. He's responsible for all the art.
Great. So,
any else you want to
know? Not right now.
Cool.
Thanks.
Well, I walked in a little bit late on the quote-unquote final bosses panel. That's a new website that is combining the channels of many of the top YouTube game-related channels. And it included 8-Bit Eric, Alpha Omega Sin, the Game Chasers, as well as a GameSack, and also Shane Lewis, who is the happy console gamer, I believe, and they were having a good time there and telling some stories and swearing and things like that. And then there was like a bromance moment at the end because GameSack had to leave and catch their plane.
This time I walked in and I got to see Mortal Kombat. And Mortal Kombat was brand new at the time. So nobody had seen some shit like this. And you walk in and you see, like, imagine that projector is a fucking arcade machine. And I mean, it was a crowd around it. You couldn't fucking get near it. And it was amazing because all these people were up there. You saw two people playing, next person comes up, and the next person comes up. And you're seeing fucking blood flying, you're seeing people like getting their spines ripped out, and you're seeing fucking hearts ripped out. Both, because when somebody is just like, who stole my tokens, shit goes down. But it was such a fucking cool-ass experience. I was just like, wow, that's so neat. And I tried to go up and play and got my ass beat into the dirt.
I used to...
What's up?
Pulling off your first fatality.
Oh, dude.
That's always an accomplishment. God.
Yeah, dude, the very first time that you do it, you're like, I finally did, because most of the time, your character's just moving back and forth, like, hey! And then nothing happens, and the character's like... And that's it. You're like, wow, that was anticlimactic.
I used to like to punish myself and play Asians at Tekken. But I mean, there was method behind my madness. It's like, if you don't play anyone better than you don't get better yourself. So
that's true. Arcade experiences you guys want to share?
I think my earliest memory is pretty much playing arcades at the orthodontist. He had one set up. The millipede is the one that I remember the most. But my favorite one is actually going to Chuck E. Cheese and playing TNT. Not Turtles in Time, the original one, which to this day remains my favorite arcade of all time.
Tornado Terry's.
It's still there.
It still is?
Yeah, it's still there.
It was basically like a freaking trailer, like shack hole in the wall. You pay $6, unlimited free play as long as you want the rest of the night until they closed. And I remember when they brought Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 there for like the first time. It was like, they even had a sign like, 20 days till you Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 countdown. Yeah, I freaking made sure to be there. And it was just so cool playing that for the first time. And I remember, I was like, fifth grade when that came out, and everybody was lined up. Like, nobody, this is the only time I've seen an arcade where none of the other games were being played. It was just a line for that one game. Nothing else was being played, and everybody was just rotating on it all day. Kind of like Jay's mom.
Kind of like your mom.
All right, got to it. I got you to it. You got to be quick.
Arcade memories, Dave? Dave from GameSack, everybody.
Yeah. You might remember him as the gentleman with the great beard.
Great beard.
Thank you very much.
One of my favorite arcade memories was playing Super Mario Brothers. I forgot what world. It's like 3-something where you do the turtle shell trick to get free guy. Yeah, when I first pulled that off in the arcade and got like 99 lives, but I still never beat unique because my parents gave me pictures. I got 99.
I fucking love that, man. It's dude, does anybody remember the Nintendo had an arcade machine and the control, like actual control deck board, which gigantic Super Nintendo controllers,
yeah.
They were fucking massive. Like, you could literally go and destroy an Indian village by dropping them.
It was like F-Zero, Super Tennis, and Super Mario World.
Yeah, dude, that shit was always so cool, but when I went up to it, it was like holding the original Xbox controller. The original Xbox, the fucking dude. It's like, wow, this is amazing. Or the Atari Jaguar control, but just less shitty. So, hold on, questions? Is that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shirt? Yes. And more reasons to fucking pick you. I'm thinking that if they are looking at the figures of the Resident Evil game, and then they're now investing into Resident Evil Zero for HD remaster, and they saw that Revelations 1 and 2. Anybody play Revelations at all? Okay. I'm a big fan of Revelations, and I like the direction that they went with it, because it's a lot better than 5 and 6. And I think that's a more proper direction for it. But the remake in Zero is what I want to go for. They've seen a lot of sales for it, and that's their best-selling digital game that they've ever had. So if they see that and they invest in that kind of idea, because that's what I want out of a survival horror game, a proper game like that. That's a fucking horror game, not Resident Evil 6. That's just a clusterfuck of, we don't know what we're doing. I guess I'm looking at you, but...
Resident Evil 6 is kind of bad. I'm trying to play it now, and it's, well, not right this second. I'm just having to go down a little bit. At 4:00, we'll be doing our signing, finally. Final boss is signing in the gallery. And GameSack won't be there.
Aww.
Awesome. Good job, too many games.
You guys just come up on stage then? Yeah. Come on. GameSack! On the best fucking gaming show on Bond. Yeah, sit there. Okay. So, questions?
Wow, even more hands. This guy, so, huh, here, you got your fucking finger bit, so I have to pick you. Look, that's foreplay, so I don't even see the big
deal. Oh, yeah.
It's cool. I gotta say, I'm just watching, so. So. Head and shoulders. Yeah, that's literally it, just head and shoulders. Huh?
I thought you were going to be like, the blood of innocent children.
Oh, no, now it's product placement. Okay, the truth of the matter is that I just get, you know, a bunch of virgins, sacrifice living shit, and good thing Eric's here, and, you know, just fucking use that, and it's good stuff. I just bathe in it, and I look like I'm out of carry, or, you know, some kind of shit where... Thank you, yeah. I bathe in blood of innocence. I look like a maxi pad. Here. Who's a GameSack fan here? Who's a GameSack fan? Awesome. Come on, we're gonna say goodbye to them, literally.
If y'all missed the announcement yesterday, we're all making a website together called finalbosses.com.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's us, it's GameSack. It was all of us, GameSack, Rerez, Johnny Millennium, stand up, finalbosses.com.
Okay, so a lot of people might not know about it. Who here was actually there for the Final Bosses panel? Okay, not a whole shit ton of people. We are going to have a website that's going to be launching very soon. That's going to have a bunch of exclusive content on it, from videos to podcasts to articles, all sorts of shit that is...
Dick pics.
Yeah, but you can find that on Twitter. Yes, oh yeah, dude. We basically decided, I don't know, he's probably going to Shane's panel, more likely to go and jump in on that, but it's because everybody already knows that YouTube has a bunch of rules and regulations that are kind of bullshit, and things get flagged all the fucking time. So we were like, you know what, we're kind of sick of that shit happening. It's not going to change anything that we're doing on our channels, it's just all extra shit we've been trying to do. Like, I want to do, like, horror movie top fives and shit. And I can't do that without not having, like, footage, you know, because I want to show, like, Jason fucking taking a weed whacker in somebody's face. Like, that sounds fantastic, but if I put that on there, whoever owns the rights will be like, did you get permission? No, motherfucker, I'm one fucking dude, and I have, like, $3 in my pocket. Do you think I can fucking get permission? So it'll help with that.
FinalBosses.com comes in.
Be prepared. All of us will be posting videos about it, so if you follow any of our channels, which I hope you do, if not, you wandered into a really weird panel. I'm so sorry.
Way in the back.
Eric, who?
Way in the back, I saw a hand. No, that one right there. You. Yep. Glasses.
Hello. You said that somebody was calling you? Yeah.
Yell. Scream it.
The name?
No. Yes. Scream your question. And do it in a high-pitched voice.
Was there ever anybody online or offline during a gaming match that really pissed you off that you wanted to get back and troll them forever?
Yeah, every time I die in Call of Duty, it's bullshit.
Any time that I've ever gone online, all the little fucking squeakers into their microphones are like,
I fucked your mother.
I'm like, dude, your balls haven't dropped. You haven't fucked anything. Like, you have not fucked anything. Also, like, it's fucking ridiculous. I don't go online and play many games, though. I'm more of a co-op type, offline type player.
See, I would rather play like that, but, like, legit answer to that, like, Tekken Tag. They added a few characters that have projectiles in Tekken, which is fucking stupid. And I hate these people just spam, just project. I get on the other side of the fucking screen and just throw rockets at you because you can't do shit about it.
One game that I've been playing a lot recently, Splatoon, online. I'm glad you came on board.
I like shit too.
I'm so glad that game does not have voice chat because I would rage so much. Does this happen to any of you? Like, your team is losing, like, 19% to, like, 80%, and you're, like, the only person doing the work. You're like, what the hell? Like, you might as well just be by yourself.
And then to finish things up, I went to the autograph booth where these Final Bosses guys were. Mainly because I'm not really familiar with all of these guys. I do watch Alpha Omega Sin a lot. I find him very funny. I do know 8-Bit Eric and, of course, the Game Chaser. So the main thing was just to get a, you know, quick, you know, like, a, you know, 30 seconds from some of the guys. And I did get Alpha Omega Sin, and who was taking forever to sign. You know, clearly they don't understand the autograph scene as I do. Stay at your table and sign. And also Shady J from Game Chasers, who, despite my correcting him several times, assumed that Digital Press, the store, is in New York rather than New Jersey.
Thanks.
Absolutely, man.
Dude, hell, fucking thank you. Digital Press.
Yeah, I've had this on.
Oh, what's up?
I don't know if you want to say anything real fast. Or...
Oh, I don't know. What would you like me to talk about?
Real fast. I don't want to hold these people up.
Let's see. I don't know. I'm at too many games. I'm Alpha Omega Sin. I'm here with a whole bunch of motherfuckers from Screenwave, and I'm signing shit. I have a Sharpie. I drew a bunch of random crap on here. We were drawing dicks on tables earlier, so there was that. A dude turned his leg backwards and then did a Silent Hill walk. That was kind of fucked up, but it was awesome.
Okay. All right.
You said say anything.
That's good.
That's me.
Hey, that's your new thing.
Hey, Game Chasers, how are we going?
What's up, dude?
Good.
Huh?
Yeah, first time. Yeah, it's nice. I'm with the Digital Press. I don't know if you guys remember
that. Yeah, of course.
You want to give me, like, I don't know, 30 seconds? Or...
Yeah, what do you want to say?
Whatever you want.
Let's see here.
You, the floor is
yours.
You
guys from New York, right?
New Jersey.
Okay. Okay. What's up, everyone? Shady J from the Game Chasers here. Go to Digital Press, digitalpress.com. Check out the store in New York. We love you, Joe.
What is happening?
The game's up.
Let's do it! Oh! Oh, yeah! Please! Let's go! It's a me, a man!